So everybody knows the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, right? This is my Planes, Trains, and Automobiles story. In 1995, I was 25 years old, and I was a grad student in D.C., getting ready to write my thesis. I was out visiting my boyfriend in California, and we were at the airport, and in the baggage checkout line, or check-in line, and I'd had sort of a growing fear of flying for the past couple of years. I was no longer the naive teenager who thought death was something that happened to other people, nor was I the sort of crusty fatalist that I am now. So it was kind of a tender in-between time. Perhaps some people can relate. And I thought to myself, today is not the day that I am getting in that metal box and lock, you know, with the locked doors. This is 1995. It was before 9/11, but I'm just not doing it. We're not going to 30,000 feet today. 24 hours later, I was at the Emeryville, California Amtrak station, where the California Zephyr was pulling in. The California Zephyr is one of the long-distance trains that Amtrak runs. It runs from California to Chicago. That's a two-day journey. Then you, if you're going to D.C., as I was, you change trains in Chicago, and you take another day-long train to D.C. I was kind of excited because I had a lot of work to do. I had a lot of reading, note-taking, and I kind of thought of the train as a rolling library. It was going to be kind of quiet with a lot of white noise, and I would sort of meet some different types of people, and we would not be at 30,000 feet, most importantly. And in fact, it really was those things. I got on the train. I didn't have a sleeper car. Sat down next to a guy who was kind of built like Hulk Hogan meets John Candy, to get back to the movie reference. He was enormous, but very young, with, you know, thighs the size of something you would serve at, like, Thanksgiving. He was but a very sweet guy and very quiet. And over the next couple of days, we developed sort of a rhythm along with the rhythm of the train. We would he would read what he'd brought with him to read, which was motocross magazines and automobile catalogs. And I would read, I was really self-conscious about it, this really obscure and sometimes truly bizarre feminist literary fiction and theory that I was writing my my thesis about. But we sort of gave each other the room, and sometimes one of us would go to the dome car, which is where you can look out and see like a glassed-in panoramic view. One night we had dinner in the dining car with some other passengers. So it really was fulfilling this sort of ideal I had of long-distance train travel, and I had forgotten about the airplane at this point. He got off in Youngstown, Ohio, and I was in central Pennsylvania by the time I started to think, you know what, the charm of this is wearing off. I have been on a train for 2.5 days. I haven't taken a shower. I haven't brushed my teeth. I'm tired. I was talking to my new seatmate, and right about that time, we started to hear shouting in the middle of the car we were in. I turned around, and I saw a guy wearing, like, paramilitary garb, and he had crazy wild hair and a wild look in his eye, and he was shouting a whole bunch of stuff, but the only line that I remember clearly was, "Are any of you all government officials?" Okay, so this was 1995. It happened to be May. It was 1 month after the Oklahoma City bombing, and domestic terrorism was probably number two, second to flying on my list of really, like, very present fears at that time. And I walked about three cars away, and I thought, okay, you know, pretty much, you know, the racing heart, the sweaty palms, the whole thing. And I thought, I don't care what the next station is, I'm getting off. And I did. Altoona, Pennsylvania. don't know anyone, don't really even know where it is. Long story short, somebody drove me to a distant airport where I got a rented Dodge Neon Lilac. I remember the color. And I drove that car the last 6 hours to National Airport, which is where 3 days earlier my plane had landed safely.